Good evening, everyone. So glad you're here. How's everyone doing? Good, 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 good. I am excited about continuing this series, the Movement Begins, and we're going to kind of ramp through it and out of it here through the next 4 weeks together. And so I want you to, and really what we've wanted to do is just kind of extract some bits and accounts and stories from the book of Acts and engage on this journey to literally, Luke is writing to a young church. And how many know we are a young church? And so it's just good stuff for us. And so I want us to capture it and put it to heart. And I think it'll be, it's just going to be a great month. We're already excited about, we've got the series set for Christmas. And so we'll be talking some more about that, unpacking that in the next few weeks together. So excited about the December. I can't believe it's already snowing, people. So, yep, it's snowing. So here we go. Like, oh, Lord, here we go. But I'd rather have snow than rain. How many of you watch the World Series? Anybody watch the World Series? Anybody excited about baseball ever? Nobody's excited. Well, there's a few of you excited about baseball. I watched it, and I want you to know, and every time we share, we speak, you can just learn a little bit more about us. I actually convinced Patty that the World Series was a kind of a cool thing to watch. And so I'm a Dodger fan. I grew up in Los Angeles, so I grew up at the Chavez Ravine, and they're so much better than the Phillies. That was for Wayne. I grew up down in Los Angeles, went to games, and it was just kind of a great growing up experience for me and my brother and my dad in particular. My mom is a crazy Dodger fan to this day. And so I get to text her during the games and we watched it together. But out of the end of that series, there's no doubt that the Astros were the better team. So I'm just going to give you that, all you Houston Astros fans, I'm going to give you that. Dodgers or the Astros were the better team. But it's interesting because I love baseball. And grew up playing more baseball than any other sport in my childhood. Grew up playing one-on-one baseball. If you did not ever know that was possible, you've not ever met my brother. We played one-on-one baseball. We'd go and he just invented games. And I'm really actually quite surprised that I was not a professional baseball player because I played so much baseball growing up that I never got a dime playing baseball. But anyway, I played a lot of it. And I remember growing up, my dad would coach our teams from time to time. He'd be like an assistant coach. And so that was a cool bonding thing. And my dad he always had these fundamentals that he would go over with us. He was not into flashy stuff. So if we got up presenting this new kind of waggling the bat around like we were really cool, he'd say, "What is that? Why are you doing that? Why, he'd say, "Well, because we saw so-and-so player do that and it was really cool." But he was always talking about fundamentals. And I want to take a moment talking to this evening about some fundamentals that I believe are important for us in this thing called being a young church and engaging in this journey with God. My dad would say, let's take fundamentals of hitting. Fundamentals of hitting, they're just some basic ones. I'm going to go over them quickly because I ran out of time last service. Fundamentals of hitting are this: keep your eye on the ball. Right? That just sounds basic, right? Keep your eye on the ball. And what would follow that fundamental for my dad, I'd hear him say when I'd go up to bat as a kid, he'd say, not only keep your eye on the ball, but watch the ball hit the bat. And they have such slow motion camera work now. If you see that ball coming in, you can see the laces in the replay. But then you watch the face or the head of the batter, and his eyes are following that ball right down to the bat. And he's watching the ball hit the bat. The last thing my dad would say, he would say, step into the pitch. Step into the pitch. And we do this over and over. We hit a ball, watch it a bit up against the fence, just right there, and just on and over and over and over and over. And the reason is you do it over and over and over and over, and he'd say it over and over. He said, keep your eye on the ball, step into the pitch, because that way it would become part of what? Your muscle memory. So when you get into the heat of the battle, right? When you get out of the middle of the game, you are engaged and you're ready to to do those fundamentals, to walk those out. But the problem for me was I faced this guy by the name of Mark Band. Mark Band was a left-hander, and every time I went against him in junior high, I thought I was going to die. Right, so I'd get up to bat against him. He's a left-hander, and left-handers always seem to throw it towards right-handed batters. And I would be up there petrified that Mark Band was going to hit me in the back, and he actually did hit me with a pitch. But what happened was, but all the fundamentals would go right out the window. You're supposed to, right, muscle memory and all that. For me, in those moments, sometimes it just didn't engage. But if you wanted success, put the fundamentals to work. But oftentimes it wasn't keeping your eye on the ball. It was the first step out like this, and the head would go out. And I wouldn't. It would be a ball, a wild pitch, way over there somewhere, and I would step out like this every time. Well, again, don't follow my example in baseball. If you want success, put the fundamentals into practice. Our life is just the same way. We have practical fundamentals. If you want to get traction in your life, you just work these fundamentals, whether it's your budget or whether it's your marriage relationship or whether it's your personal devotion or whether it's your job. You just put some personal fundamental things into place. You're going to get some traction, and you're going to get some forward movement in your life. Be a hard worker. Be aggressive. Have a good work ethic. Be kind. Be courteous. Just some of those things that come into play. And I think those are important for us to engage in. And in fact, as we're considering this journey of faith, I was thinking about Luke's book, the book that he authored that we're covering during this series, the book of Acts. He was writing account after account about a young church. And he began the book of Acts, and it's very important for us to remember this, on a hillside with Jesus. And it would be the last time the 12 disciples and about 120 plus people gathered around this early band of followers of Jesus were there, and Jesus was giving them kind of their last fundamentals going out. Going to all the world, preach the gospel. I mean, do what you've seen me do. This was kind of like a game changer. You've watched me function for 3 years in face-to-face relationship with people. You saw how I healed the sick. You saw how I just nurtured people. You saw how I allowed kids to run up to me, and it made you nervous because they were kind of disrupting the service. And I said, suffer the kids to come up unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. You saw how I dealt with people, religious hypocrites. You saw how I dealt with crowds of people when they were hungry. And I said, you give them something to eat. I require something from you. Just don't ever forget those fundamentals. But now I'm going to prepare a place for you. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is it's going to be what helps you. Not only, now you're not going to just be able to look at me and see what I do and emulate that. Now you're going to have the Holy Spirit residing within you to give you wisdom and understanding as far as what to do and putting the fundamentals into practice. And so he impressed these fundamentals with them over and over. He promised this in John 14, 25. He said, these things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Legacy Church, I want to tell you something. Those same principles are available for us today. That same power, that same assurance of the Holy Spirit and him alive in us is critical for us to walk in today. There's no way we can reach a city. There's no way we can engage in what's going on in our culture and in this world without the power of the Holy Spirit helping us, giving us wisdom, giving us guidance. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. Life happens. Life happens. And if our walk with Jesus is one time a week, right? It's one time a week engaging, checking the box and kind of checking in and going out and just living life. Because here's what happens. Life happens and there's just a lot of moving parts, right? We got practice. We got the kids got to go here. Or we got work. Or we got this. Or we got that. We got social media on top. We got all these voices and all these moving parts that seem to somehow can distract us and pull us away from hearing his voice, hearing the promptings. So I felt all week long I needed to just draw us back. Say, well, I want to have a vibrant, living relationship with Jesus. How many of you want to gain traction in your life? How many of you want to, how many want to see just in every area of your life, just begin to move forward in what God has for you? And I thought about who are we talking to this evening? Who would this message apply to? I would say it would apply to anyone who's ever grown skeptical that God's really involved in your life. It's a little bit frightening. If you've ever grown skeptical, like, you know, I don't know. I think I'm pretty much doing this on my own. And if I had any success in my life, it's because I'm just kind of a charismatic guy. Or man, I don't know, I'm just kind of feeling like, you know, I'm kind of getting the short end of the stick, and I've just been doing this, and been serving, and do whatever. Whatever it is I've been doing, I'm frustrated, and I'm not sure, and you've grown skeptical that God's involved in your life. Or maybe I'm talking to hurting people. Maybe you're wondering if God can even be trusted. And so now, in your faith journey, you're kind of on the fringe. You're kind of watching on the fringe and just kind of measuring, like watching, and you've got this cautious kind of approach to God and the things of God. Or maybe you are one who's all in, you're committed to this journey of faith with Jesus, and yet today you just need some assurance. You just need some re-engagement. Maybe you're just tired. And you're just kind of wondering, like, I don't know. I don't see God in all of this. Here's the first fundamental I want you to write down. I think that Luke wants us to grab a hold of. Write this down. Here it is. Number one, I'm going to just say it. It's going to sound so basic. You're going to go, ah, and you're going to go, ah, really? Here it is. God is still at work. God's still working. God is still working. In fact, I want us to personalize it tonight. I want us to personalize. This is like fundamental. God is still working in my life. And I wonder if we could just say that out loud together. Just personally. I want your auditory canals to hear. I want you to hear yourself saying, well, you're making me say it. You're asking us to say it. But I think we need to say it. I think we need to hear ourselves say, God is still at work in my life. Would you say that with me? Come on. God is still at work in my life. That's so important for us to get, because somehow I think we forget. Life happens, and we become skeptical. We start to wonder. I'm really out here on my own. That's kind of a fearful thing. I remember, and maybe you've met people like this. You ever just ask somebody the basic question, "Hey, how's it going? How you doing?" And their response at that moment is they kind of roll their eyes and say, "It's complicated, right? It's so complicated right now." And what that's code for is there's so many moving parts. There's so much going on in my life and around me that I don't even know if God could keep it together for me. It's so complex and so complicated. There's so many moving parts, and I'm not sure God cares. And we maybe embrace this kind of, and let me throw a word at you here, deistic kind of view that God is, he created the earth, and people believe this, created earth, and then he just backed off. Right? He just backed away and he said, okay, I'm gonna let you guys just kind of work it out. We can work it out. That was free. I didn't sing that in the first time. But you're just kind of on your own just to work things out. Because, and so you maybe embrace that approach because, again, it's so messy. There's so many convoluted. There's so many moving parts. It reminded me of my childhood. Some of these things, you're just kind of thinking back. And, yeah, I remember. It reminded me of a game, a toy that I used to love as a kid. How many of you ever played with Tinker Toys? Come on, raise your hand. You played with Tinker. How many of you liked playing with Tinker Toys? Yeah, less of you raised your hand, but I loved Tinker Toys. And I love Tinker Toys because, how many of you remember the cylinder canister? A cylinder can, kind of cardboard can, and it had a metal top. And you would pop open the metal top of that canister, and it's kind of, it would pop open, and then just... You just smell the smell of Tinker. It smells so good. I love the smell of Tinker Toys. You open that up, and you know these round things with the holes, and you put the red sticks and the yellow sticks, and you get to create stuff. And if you had the orange parts, the orange plastic parts were cool because you could, those were the parts that allowed you to make things move, right? You could have moving parts if you had enough orange things. And if you were a rich kid, and we weren't, but we'd go to my rich cousin's house, and he had the bigger canister of Tinker Toys, and it had a bigger booklet of things you could make. Do you remember the bigger big canister? You could put bigger things together. And if you were really a rich kid, you could order the motor that went with the Tinker Toys. Moving parts, a lot of moving parts. Here's the deal, life can get complicated. Life can get difficult. We can think, we can sit in a moment and think, God, you're not really working in my future. I don't sense you near. And you're straining and we're pressing and we're doing stuff, and the muscle memory for us as we engage in the things of God is doing just what you're doing right now. I'm going to position myself in a church, in a fellowship of believers to hear God's word. You're doing one of the things that we ought to do. And maybe another one or two would be like to open the Word of God through the week and just read it and just get that muscle memory going. And maybe maybe it's worship. Maybe you just got worship going on your MP3 at home, and you just learn how to be a worshiper in your house. It's just getting that muscle memory. But because we forget the promises of God. We forget, and I just have good news for you tonight. Here's what I want you to know about God. God is another theological word. You ready for this? He's omnipresent. You know what that means? God is omnipresent means he's not intimidated by the fact that your life has a lot of moving parts. God is omnipresent, which means he can work right here with you while you are here and now, but he also can be at work for you over here, preparing and doing things and moving ahead of your life, fulfilling your dreams. He says, well, I'm praying. I don't know if God has a partner, a lifetime partner for my life. I don't see it coming together. I'm not sure, but you continue to be faithful, and you continue to keep going through the muscle memory and putting your life on the line for Jesus and going after him. Guess what? He's not only working here, but I guarantee you, he's working over here. He's working. Don't forget the fundamentals that God is working. I just think we needed to hear that. See, we forget the promise of his name. Promise of his name is one of the names ascribed to him at his birth was Emmanuel. And what does that mean? God with us. Just it's inherent in his name. He cannot contradict his name. God with us. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So I want to just encourage us tonight. Let's not default back to our old ways. Let's not give up when things get difficult. See, sometimes that's what happens. When you face the Mark bands of life, the left-handers that they're throwing the fast projectile, sometimes we just throw fundamentals out the window. We say, forget it. God doesn't care. And we just go off on a tangent, don't we? We hear about people that do that all the time, and they de-church and they detach from life. They go underground. They just go off the grid because God doesn't care. And I'm just here to remind us tonight, don't forget the fundamentals. God is for you. God is working. I love how Luke brings accounts of stories to life. And one I want to share with you quickly leads us to the second fundamental. The second fundamental, you just write this down, is this. His purpose is to redeem and to rescue. His purpose is to redeem and to rescue. And we see this when he tells the account of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman soldier. He's in charge of people. He's a very upstanding, godly man. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile. He's not in that favored relationship with God. We'll talk about unpack that more in just a second. And he's praying one day, and he's talking to God, and he's just having this conversation with the Lord. He's an outstanding citizen, an outstanding man, and this angel appears before him, and it says this. The angel said to him, Your prayers and neighborly acts have brought you to God's attention. That's Message Bible. The things you've been doing, God sees you've been, you're a very devout man. You're a good man. And it's brought you to God's attention. He says, the angel says this, continues to Cornelius, send some of your men over to Joppa and ask for a man by the name of Peter, and he will tell you how everyone in your household can be saved. My sense here is that Cornelius was praying for something more. Have you ever just asked God, Lord, in this life, I just believe there's something more. I just believe you have something more for my life. I have a feeling, I'm speculating a little bit, but that was Peter, that was Cornelius's prayer at that moment. The angel shows up and says, go find a man by the name of Peter. He's down 12 hours from here south in Joppa on the coastline, staying at a guy named Simon the Tanner's house, right? The angel goes away. Cornelius is like, what is going on? This is amazing. And he goes to his guys and he says, listen, I just had a vision. This is amazing. I need you to go down to Joppa. Get down there, a couple guys, two, three guys. Go down to Joppa. Go find Peter, a guy named Peter. He's going to be at Simon the Tanner's house. Please go back. Go down and get him. And this is what's amazing about. See, so God's working over here in Cornelius' life. And the Bible says the guys start walking 12 hours, right? So they leave. They go 12 hours. And the Bible says right about the time, you go back and read it tonight. Have fun reading Acts chapter 10 tonight, this account. And they get about almost, they're nearing Peter's house. And the Bible segues. So meanwhile, here they come along. All of a sudden, meanwhile, Peter decides, I'm going to go up to pray. It's about noon, lunchtime. He goes up on the roof to pray. He's praying. He's just praying, talking to God. All of a sudden, he gets a vision, right? Vision, it's just a weird one, okay? Sometimes we read things in the Bible and go, ha, what is that? But here's, God had a purpose in it. There's a sheet that hovers down in this vision. He sees, and on this sheet thing, there's all these reptiles and wild birds, and it was just weird. And God says, in the vision, he hears a voice say, Peter, go ahead and kill and eat. And Peter knows, being a devout Jew, he says, I would never eat anything that is not allowed by our religious customs, by our Jewish customs and laws. I would never do that. And the Lord says to him, do not ever call unclean what I've said is clean. The sheet goes back up into heaven, and it comes back down again, and the same thing happens. Go kill and eat. He says, I'd never do that. Not ever. If this is a test, I'm going to pass it. No, I'm not going there. I'm not doing it. God says, do not call unclean what I've said. Three times. And all of a sudden, there's a knock downstairs at the door. And all of a sudden, we see these two worlds collide in this moment. See, God is preparing Peter up here on the rooftop, showing him something that he has no idea the fullness of. He has no idea what God's about ready to unpack. And it has everything to do not only with Cornelius getting saved, Cornelius' family getting saved, but guess what? You and me finding Jesus. Because guess what? We're Gentiles. We are non-Jew. Unless you are Jew here, God bless you. That's awesome. But most of us are not. And so here, this was opening the way for us. So watch how this unfolds. Peter goes downstairs. Look at verse 19 of Acts chapter 10. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. And don't worry, for I have sent them. Oh, man. I love when the worlds collide. I love, this is the Holy Spirit now, right? Remember Jesus said, go wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now directing and leading and prompting. He's working. He says to Peter, go downstairs. I want you to talk to these men. When God works, when God is working, his purpose is always to redeem. His purpose is always to restore. His purpose is to rewrite futures. Can I just say that? That's our vision statement. It's to rewrite not only your future, but your children's future and your children's children's future. To bring them back to God, to bring them to himself. It's to redeem. Let's pick up the account, verse 24. This is a little bit long reading, so it's so good, I don't want to miss any of it. Here we go, verse 24. So here's what happened before I read it. Here's what happened. Peter meets these guys. They tell him the story. Cornelius sent us, said, man, we need to bring you back because you got something to share with our peeps and your peep. We need to get together. This is kind of a great moment. Peter said, spend the night here. And we'll all go up together tomorrow. They make the 12-hour journey back to Caesarea, verse 24. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them, watch this, and had called together his relatives and close friends, because when you're about to hear some unbelievable news, you want your close friends and your relatives to be in the room to hear it too. And as Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him. But watch what Peter does. Peter pulled him up and said, whoa, stand up. I'm a human being just like you. I love that. So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. And Peter told them, you know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. Flashback to the roof. Remember the conversation up there? The sheets, right? Here we go. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. Cornelius replied, 4 days ago, I was praying in my house about this same time, 3:00. In the afternoon, suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. And he told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Send some messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying in the home of Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. Look at verse 33. If you like to underline in your Bible, this is a great part to underline. So I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. And now we're all here, waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. This moment, if I could freeze frame this, when I get to heaven and I stand before God, here's what I'm going to say. Could I just stand in Cornelius' house and see that moment? Because in that moment, this was a Gary Paul Moreno moment. God was going to save me. This was a Colton Moreno moment. God's been saying, Colton, this was our kid, little Raya. This was the moment. And meanwhile, Peter steps on the roof to have some prayer. God was working over here. And God was working over here because God's ambidextrous. God's omnipresent. He's not intimidated by all the moving parts. I love that. He's wanting to redeem Cornelius, his family and his friends, the Gentiles, all of us. And guess what? Legacy Church, guess what? He's wanting to redeem you and he's wanting to redeem our story. He's working in your life and my life because he wants to redeem your story. He wants to redeem people in your life, your family, your friends, people who don't even know. People tonight that are home watching Sunday night football. They have no idea that there's this church just beginning. We're only in week 5, right? 6. We're only in week... October was, I think, it was a 5-week weekend. 6 weeks. Only 6 weeks in, but they have no idea that God's been working over here in these two pastors from Coeur d'Alene. It's like, you know what, let's go. Let's believe God. Plant a church. Talk to some people. Some people gather and say, hey, that's a good idea. Let's be a part of that. And as we're processing and planning and praying and realizing God wants to redeem Liberty Lake and wants to redeem a region, all of a sudden people in this area start getting word about it. Say, hey, you know, we want to be a part of that. We want to see what God's doing. And we begin to join and link arms, and now we're on this journey together, because God's not intimidated by moving parts, and we just keep putting the fundamentals in action. We just keep moving forward in faith. God wants to redeem a city. This is so much bigger than us being comfortable having church together, right? This is so much bigger. This is God preparing us for what he has and what he wants to do. The fundamentals. Here's the last part. We have a part in the story. What's the last fundamental? Not only is God at work in my life, and we just need to say that. I'm not talking about positive confession here. I'm talking about saying it. God, I know you are working in my life. I know that the parts in my life that I'm uncomfortable with and are stretching me and I'm worried about and I tend to become fearful about, and I hear the Barbara Fetters of life come to me and say, we're praying for you. How can we pray? How can we believe for you? I know you are establishing people around us to pray because, God, you are doing something big. It's bigger than us, and I don't see it all. It might as well be sheets sometime that come down and looking at it like, what is that? I don't get that. And it goes back up. And what are we doing, God? And God continues to lead and direct. And his purpose is to redeem. And he wants us to be a part of the story. He wants us to be a part of the story. Go back to Peter on the roof, verse 19. The Holy Spirit said to him, 3 men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. And don't worry, for I have sent them. How am I going to know when that man comes and I'm supposed to marry him? How am I supposed to know that young lady's going to come? And how am I going to know? Because God's working here and he's working here. I'm sorry if that looks silly, but God's ambidextrous. He can work both things. God's working. He's not intimidated. You just continue to do the fundamentals. You just continue to swing the bat. You just continue to pray. You just continue to worship. You just continue to be faithful. And when God says, get up, he says, what he's saying to Peter in that moment is change your position. Change your position. And go downstairs. Now it's not only positional, but it's directional. Move to Liberty Lake. Sell your house. Go do whatever it is. Start driving through the snow to church at Legacy. Get involved with that couple. Get involved with that church that's just beginning. Some of you, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm going to engage in that. I'm going to go. I believe in that. I believe that God's doing something. So get up, go downstairs, and go with the men. Here's what he's saying. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable, Peter. Because you're not going to be comfortable. It's going to feel awkward. You're going to have these guys stay. You're going to be walking 12 hours with them up a road. And you're going to go into the house of a Gentile. It's going to feel weird. It's going to feel awkward. Stand up on a stage and sing and worship. Get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable because you're willing to say yes to Jesus. Willing to engage in the journey. It's not just a picture of God doing everything. It's not a picture of us praying detached prayers that kind of like, oh God, do a miracle in my family, and then we just kind of forget about our family. Oh God, do something in my home or my neighbors. God, save my neighbors, but yet we never go talk to them. We never serve them cookies. We never invite them over for dinner. Mark Batterson says, I love this. He said, I had a friend come over to my house one day. He's a pastor. And he came over and said, man, I'm having some financial tension in my life and things are kind of tight and tough. And he came over and he said, I'm really struggling financially. I need a new computer for my job and I don't have a computer. And so would you pray for me? And Mark's sitting there and he could just sense. And sometimes we think, how do you hear the voice of God? I never heard the voice of God. You might say, I never heard the voice of God audibly.
Do this.
You know, you sense something in your heart, a nudging, a stirring. Mark was sitting there, and as the guy was talking, he could hear this in his head going, you have an extra computer at home. So Mark stood up and said, yeah, I'll pray with you about that. And as he was just getting ready to pray for the guy, he just said, don't pray. He said, hear this voice in his heart. Don't pray. Go get your computer. And he said, just give me a second. And he went back to the rec room and pulled out a computer, said, here, I want you to. I mean, we just be an answer to prayer. Some things we don't even have to pray about because God wants to, by his Holy Spirit, just speak to us, through us. Make us a little bit uncomfortable. Stretch us a little bit. Holy Spirit directed. We get a chance to be a part of the story. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of the story. we've been telling people, you know, people say, what, you're planting a church? Like shock, like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You might have to get another job. You're like, yeah, I might have to. But here's what we said. We want to go out swinging. We want to go out swinging, man. We want to go out and say, God, use us. Use us. We believe what you've called. We believe you want to reach a city. We believe you want to do something in Liberty Lake. Big, big, big. We want to reach a lot of people, a lot of families. Can I just read the last part? I don't have time for a service. I'm going to read it this time. Verse 34. Then Peter replied, here he is and standing in Cornelius' house. I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for all the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Peter's standing with all of Cornelius' family and friends in his house, and he's sharing this. Verse 39, and we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem, and they put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all the living and the dead. He's the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name, the gospel. And even as Peter was saying these things, listen to this. The Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. He wasn't whooping up the crowd. He wasn't looking for some emotional response. He was just telling them the gospel. And the Holy Spirit fell on them. And the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they had heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. And then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? And he gave the orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Ah. God is still working. This is what he wants to do. You know what? I can't wait till we start baptizing people who had no idea. God's still working. His purpose is to redeem. And we get to be a part of the story. Anybody with me today on that? Anyone want to be a part of the story? I want to be a part of the story. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you for speaking to Peter. Thank you for speaking to Cornelius. Miles separated them, Lord. And you brought the two stories together. And you gave us such a picture, such a clue of how you work in your ways, Lord, the ways of God. That as we pray for unsaved loved ones and friends and family members and neighbors and the city of Liberty Lake and Spokane Valley and Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls, Lord, this region, we pray, God. We pray, Lord Jesus, knowing that you are working in living rooms right now where football games are being watched or people are sitting at pizza or whatever, wherever they are, God, we are praying for them. We are praying, God, that you would bring revival to this city and to this region. We are praying, God. And we are saying, God, we're willing to get up. We're willing to change our position. We're willing to change our direction. We're willing to be made uncomfortable, Lord, if it would just mean that you would redeem lives and change lives and rescue people. We want to be a part of that, God. And so here we are. Here we are. We want to hear those words spoken by this region. Here we are. We're so glad you've come. We're all here in this place, waiting before God to hear the message that the Lord has given you. Help us to act, Lord. Help us to move. Help us to live by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.